Welcome to Miami.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, broadcasting live this week from WLRN in Miami. Good morning, I'm Jeremy Hobson, and we're here in South Florida with our Wealth and Poverty Desk to focus on the new American dream as President Obama begins his second term. We're going to start with the people who live here.
American dream.
American dream is to...
to succeed financially.
To be financially secure.
I just want to be happy.
Everybody should be able to own their own business.
Well, that's why I'm in school. Of course I want to do better.
I've met people who are doctors who say that I'm a doctor and now my child can be a musician. And that's something that I couldn't afford for myself.
I play drums. I'm a good drummer, but like, there's a lot of other way better drummers that are probably going to make it. So I think I'm going to have a plan B.
Well, we're just looking at next year, making sure that he has a job.
Well, I've adjusted it by settling now for less, for simpler things.
In my case, I have taken a step backwards, yeah.
I'm already living the American dream because I never had to worry about picking crops or something just to make pay the bills.
American dream.
American dream.
The American dream.
To be able to find a job when you need a job. Live comfortably and support yourself and your family, basically.
Well, one Miami resident who has lived the American dream is Tomas Regalado. He came here as a boy from Cuba, and now he's the mayor of Miami. I asked him, what makes this city so unique?
Miami is one of the most diverse city in the world. I mean, 60-some percent of the people living in Miami were born outside the United States.
You included?
Me included. I came as a child. And after that, you know, after the Cubans, we have the Haitians and we have the Nicaraguans. We first had the Puerto Ricans, of course. Then we have the Dominicans. Actually, Miami, I guess, is the only city that officially has an area called Little Havana, Little Haiti, Little Managua, Little Tegucigalpa, you know. So we got little, many, and people are almost used to seeing that. I think that Miami is what the United States will be in 25, 30 years.
Now, in addition to being a multicultural city, it is also a city economically of highs and lows. You have some of the richest and the poorest here.
That is true. We have pockets of extreme poverty in the city of Miami, and we have people that are very rich. You know, we have in this area houses that would go for $12 million.
Is there any way to fix that problem, though, to make it so that there's a stronger middle class, that Miami is known not for rich and poor, but for a strong middle class?
I think we can, and what we're doing now, actually, it's that Miami is trying to become like Dallas, a city that would be a regional center for investors' visa. I think that we have to seize the opportunity with Latin America and Asia to bring investors to Miami.
Coming up, we'll hear from one top business leader who's already investing heavily in South Florida.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
One of South Florida's top business leaders runs one of the nation's cheapest airlines. That would be Spirit. The CEO is Ben Baldanza. Good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be with you.
Now, your airline has been called the dollar store of the sky, and I wonder if you agree with that assessment.
Well, I think we might have been the ones who tried to coin that because we've tried to use that with people to help understand. You know, people have tended to look at airlines as a very homogenous thing of every airline's the same, and we said, no, that's not really true. And people seem to understand that in retail. People get that, you know, there's a difference between a Nordstrom and a Target and a Walmart and a dollar store, and so we've tried to use that retail analogy. Sometimes we say we're the McDonald's as well, but what we're trying to do is offer the lowest possible price to consumers, and that means that we do things a little bit differently than a lot of other airlines.
you charge a lot of fees for things that most airlines include with the price of their ticket, which allows you then to charge less for the ticket, right?
Well, yeah, and we think of it as creating more optionality for customers, because what we do is we strip out all the things that can be a decision point for the customer, like whether you take bags or not, or if you want to pick where you sit on the plane or not, or whether you're going to eat on the plane or not.
Do you think that model, though, has gone too far? I mean, charging people for overhead bins now.
If you ask, have we gone too far in terms of the unbundling, meaning services or things that used to be considered part of a core fare, then we probably are almost at the limit of that, because it's hard to imagine that, you know, our fares pretty much include the right to get on the plane and get off at the other end, you know, and have a, you know, a safe and on-time flight, and that's about it. And so there's not really much else we could take out of that, we think.
One of the reasons we're down here in Florida this week is to focus on the new American dream in 2013. And I'm wondering, do you think that travel, that leisure travel for everyone, is still part of the American dream?
Well, you know, travel is a fundamental right, I think, in our country. And so I think finding ways for people to travel more often and more affordably is really important. And it gives people more options in their life. In South Florida, especially, as you know, there are large communities of people who have affinities outside of the United States. And,
right.
You know, in Latin America, Caribbean, so on, other parts of the world. And so by being able to connect those markets with much lower fares than if traditionally been charged, it allows grandparents to see their kids more often, people to come see the doctor they want to see more often, things like that. And that's good too.
Ben Baldanza is the CEO of Spirit Airlines. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thanks a lot. It's a love marketplace.
Well, coming up tomorrow, we'll ask if Miami has gone too far and spent too much to be a hub for pro sports.
To have the hottest athlete in sports say, on television with much drama, I'm going to bring my talents to South Beach. That really plays into what is Miami's pitch to the world.
Be sure to tune in for that story tomorrow. At WLRN in Miami, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.